joining us now from the Golf Channel, Paige McKenzie. What's going on, Paige?
Not much. Enjoying a morning where I am not up at 4 a.m. So, so can't complain about that.
Yeah, I'm just happy we're your first thing. That's good, right?
It is. It is. I'm happy to be on.
Well, I have a almost 7-month old, so any morning that I'm not up at 4 o'clock in the morning is awesome. So, well, lots going on in the world of golf. We've got majors coming up for both the guys and the gals. And, you know, we've got a lot of different things going on with the USGA and rules. And SI had a player poll that talked about different things. You know, let's start out with the rules that the USGA and the RNA have proposed. I mean, are you in favor of all these changes? Is there anything that jumps out at you as saying, I don't know about that one, or is there anything that they possibly missed? I mean, they went as far as saying, we'll allow you to repair, you know, spike marks on the greens, but you still got to play out of a divot in the middle of the fairway.
Right. That's a good example of one that I am not in favor of, because I feel like, and this goes along with the divot, there's something to be said about playing golf under the conditions that you find them. And if you find a divot, that's the rub of the green. There's literally a definition of rub of the green. Like, this is a thing. We need to accept it. You get bad luck every now and then. And I would say the same goes for spike marks. I think in that instance, they're trying to make golf fair, and golf's inherently not fair. Bad things happen, and you might end up with a spike mark in your way. You might end up with a bad bounce, and that's okay. And so I put another rule in that same category, and that is removing loose impediments in a hazard, or what they would deem a penalty area. I think if you hit it in an area that's wooded, you should not be able to improve your lie, improve your situation. There should be an inherent penalty to hitting in the area, and then that includes having debris around your golf ball. So those two I'm not in favor of, just strictly with the idea of playing the course the way that you find it. I think we're trying to make golf too perfect. I think that also would say include the rule about taking the ball out of the bunker with penalty. I understand that that's going to be advantageous to a lot of high handicappers, but the bunkers are there for a reason. Learn how to hit out of a bunker.
Well, and
part of the game of golf.
So let me play a little bit of devil's advocate on the conversation about repairing spike marks and the divot. You know, the problem, I think the problem that I have, number one, is that they allowed you to do it in one place and not in the other. So you have to play out of a divot, but you can repair spike marks. And those are things that are made by other people. I guess the argument would be, how do you answer to the argument to say, okay, well, the person that tees off at 7 a.m. gets the golf course one way, and the person that tees off at 1 o'clock in the afternoon gets all the spike marks and divots that the morning people have made. So technically, they're not playing the same golf course. So the USGA could technically say, well, we're trying to make the golf course more fair for everybody, no matter when you tee off. What would you say to that?
I'd like to answer. I'd like to answer for Paige. Suck it up, Buttercup. Suck it up, Buttercup.
Thank you. That's exactly what I would say, in maybe less delicate terms. But this is also why most competition is more than 18 holes. I mean, when you look at most, even club championships, you're going to have an early tee time and a late tee time. All the professional circuits, you have morning and late. That evens out the argument that it's not fair if you tee off in the afternoon and have to deal with all the spike marks.
Yeah, and making repairs on the green amongst a bunch of rules that at least part of the motivation seems to speed play, I think that one could turn out to be a real problem, especially on tour and when there's money at stake and these guys are going to get up there and feel like they need to groom the area between the ball and the hole to make sure it's perfect just for them. I think that's sort of counter to what the goals were. But I can imagine that as you guys have sat there on Golf Channel and I've seen the discussions and I've really enjoyed it, has anybody said anything about these rule changes that really surprised you, that you know, that maybe there was a way of looking at it that you hadn't considered?
In talking to some of the women on tour, one of the players, Ryan O'Toole, I talked to, we had asked her about any of the rules that stood out to her, and she had said she's very against the range finders because she feels like error is part of the game as well. And it takes the skill of having a good caddy out of the equation in professional golf where caddies are required. And I just found it to be an intriguing argument that the caddy is an integral part of the team requirement on the professional circuit, and that if you were to allow rangefinders in that circumstance, that you would actually be taking part of the skill away from the game.
And that's an interesting approach, and certainly another thing that the women are going to be faced with, and Brittany Lincecum was certainly came out very quickly against this, the idea that the caddy can no longer help with alignment from behind the ball, or would no longer be allowed to. Do you think, by and large, the ladies out there playing this game professionally really care about that much?
I don't think most of them do. There's only a handful that I think really, really rely on them. I mean, if you watch coverage, how many times have you actually seen the caddy back the player off?
Once.
Yeah, once.
I've seen it once.
Right? It's effectively confirmation. They do it because they're allowed to do it. Like I said, there are a few that, you know, are going to be upset and it's going to change their routine. But I would also make the argument that lining yourself up is an integral part of hitting a shot. It is part of the skill set required to play this game, is lining yourself up or making the adjustments if you are incorrectly lined up to still be able to hit the ball squarely. So I think it was an appropriate proposed rule, and I hope it passes.
Yeah, and I suspect someone like Brittany, I have to imagine that her resistance to this had nothing to do with being fearful that she can't line herself up to make a shot. I mean, that's ridiculous. But that it's become part of her routine. And that now, like, and she is such a mechanical player that she is now removing that step from the process will feel like she has to develop a whole new process. Am I out of
line? Well, it's the confirmation. Right. I think with her, it's the confirmation. She has such a good relationship with her caddy, Missy, that it's just having that, yes, you're correct, and then she doesn't have to think about it and then just is able to let go and play. And that's something that we all try to do and accomplish in our own games, right? You want to, when you're standing over the golf ball, you want to think about nothing other than where you're hitting it. And if she knows that she's lined up in the right direction, then, gosh, she can really swing freely. Mm. So she's going to have to figure out a different way to get to that place mentally, right, more than anything. But I don't think she's never really had a problem lining up. I've never seen really Missy pull her off the shot more than a couple times ever.
Yeah, so this begs, and the SI poll kind of touched on this, should the PGA Tour break from the USGA and play by its own rules? 62% of those polled say yes, 34% said no. So should tours almost come up with their own set of rules? I mean, I know they kind of do anyway. I mean, there's some local rules. Should they expand their quote-unquote local rules and almost make it a completely separate set of rules?
To your point, I think that in a lot of ways they already do. I mean, I thought it was funny. One of the proposed rule changes was about pace of play and having 40-second time allotments per shot as a recommended time. Well, LPGA has had 30-second time shots required in our timing process for as long as I can remember. So the LPGA has already adopted alternative rules that aren't in the book, and I would assume that the PGA Tour has as well. So I think that you can still be under the USGA umbrella and make your adaptations per tour play. I would say that if the rangefinders are allowed and you can use distance measuring devices, I doubt that the tours will use them. Where it becomes a little bit more gray area for me, I think, would be any of the regulations as it relates to the ball. I think that's going to be and has been a topic of conversation for years, that there's not any – not much of a limit onto what the length of the balls are flying. And it could have been limited years ago, and I think that's created a problem for the PGA Tour. But when you look at it, you're looking at maybe 100 players in the world that it really affects. Because the women, it doesn't affect. The women hit far, but they're still hitting it 275 yards. Like, they can stay on the map within the course design. And I would say that even, you know, Luke Donald hits it 275 yards. So it's not even affecting all the PGA Tour players. So that's the only one that gets a little gray, and it's only going to affect 100 players in the world. So I'm not as concerned about that.
Well, I know Mike's got a question, but the big thing for me is, you know, when you look at Dustin Johnson or Rory McIlroy hitting, you know, Rory hit one, 400 and something yards the other day. It's not really flying that far. I mean, you got to look at, if you want to actually make the ball go shorter, how about you actually put some water down in the golf course so the ball doesn't roll, you know, 70 yards after it lands?
That's a good point. And there's plenty of golf courses that take the driver out of your hands and require strategy in a way that the men can still play. And I think Mexico is a great example of that. Mexico, by the book, yardage may have been the same as a normal PGA Tour event, but playing at, you know, mile high elevation, it was only equivalent to, you know, whatever, 6,600 yards, which you can play at that distance anywhere. And it was just a good golf course that required a little bit more precision and strategy.
Well, and earlier you mentioned the rule that would allow a player to remove the ball from, you know, a bunker that and take the two-stroke penalty, and that being maybe an okay thing for high handicappers, or, you know, me, I'm a high handicapper who's had shoulder surgery many, many, many times, and sometimes I play crappy courses where the sand is a little unpredictable. So doing that would be great. But do you ever see, honestly, one of these players, male or female, out there on the tour at the British Open, up against the wall in one of those pot bunkers saying, you know what, the rule's there, I'm going to use it. And then
putting up with
the wrath of the golf community for doing so.
Although I will say this, if they do put into effect this 20-inch, 80-inch, which I am highly not in favor for.
Good.
Then you might see people only getting a smaller amount of relief. But no, I don't see any tour player ever using the penalties to take it out of the bunker.
What, you mean you're not going to mark the shaft of your driver at 20 and 80 inches? I mean, you know, 40 inches or whatever?
I think it's ridiculous. Well, this is, again, it goes back to the USGA, I feel like, trying to make the game fair. And yes, Dustin Johnson has a longer driver than I do, so he's going to be able to get greater relief than I am. And the USGA wants to make it equitable so that everybody's taking the exact length of relief. Well, think about this, though. His swing arc is much greater than mine because he's 6 inches taller than I am. So he actually should probably get greater relief than me so that he can get out of the trouble in the parallel distance that I would. I just think it's absurd to try to regulate something so minuscule is that. That doesn't really affect play. I've never heard anybody complain about, well, this person has a longer club than I do, so they get, it's unfair, they're getting more relief than I am. Like, I just think it's creating more problems than it's solving.
Yeah, it's another step, and a guy like Phil Mickelson, who we've seen carry two drivers into competition, he might carry a third that's, like, really long, just in case, because you know he does tend to need relief now and again.
Nothing is prohibiting a player from adding a longer club. So right. If they want to add a longer club to get an advantage, go for it. But the idea that every player is equitable, that some 8-year-old that's, you know, 4'9", gets the same relief as a 6'5 player.
Right.
I just, you know, when you look at it that way, I'm like, they're getting better relief than the 6'5 player if you're allowing this. So that's not fair either.
Yeah. All right, Paige, we got a couple minutes left, so let's go over to some majors. We all remember what happened to Jordan Spieth last year at the 12th, and he claims he's over it. Rory McIlroy is kind of questioning whether Jordan Spieth's over that or not. Is he going to be over this, or is it kind of as competition starts to heat up? I mean, yeah, you can go play a practice round and you can birdie it three times in a practice round. But when you know, when it's time to go and tee it up in round 1, 2, 3, and 4, are the demons really going to be gone?
I don't know if the demons are ever gone on the 12th hole for any player.
Right.
I mean, have you ever talked to a player that's like, yes, we're at the 12th hole, I can't wait? I think it will ease the pain if he can get out there and par or birdie at the first round. Right. I think the practice rounds are one thing, but you get in competition and it's a totally different thing. So I'm not ready to say that he's over it. I think as a competitor, yes, mentally he's prepared. I don't discount the work that he's put in to get to that point, but I think all of us and him would also agree, will breathe a sigh of relief if he gets through the 12th hole with a par or birdie.
Well, and I think the difference between him and Rory is that, you know, Jordan's won the Masters. Rory lost that chance to win the Masters when it happened. You know, Jordan had already won the Masters, and then this happened. So I think there's a better possibility that he has less of the demons than Rory McIlroy has. And obviously, Rory still has him after the comments.
Well, and I would also argue that I felt like after it happened for Jordan Spieth, he was able to recover and play good golf coming down the stretch. And Rory, it was the beginning of the end, what happened on the 10th hole. It was the unraveling. And he never really got his foothold back, where Jordan put himself in position to at least give a run coming down the stretch after the double bogey.
All right, Paige, before we let you go, we've got Lydia Ko missing the cut, and we thought she was going to be building some momentum going into the A&A and possibly see her jumping into Poppy's Pond after a very bizarre offseason, changing coaches, changing manufacturers, changing managers, the whole thing. Should we be worried about her?
Oh, this is the beginning of the end. Are you kidding? No,
okay, Paige said it here.
Retire.
No, I'm not worried at all. I mean, it's her second missed cut ever as a professional, or on the LPGA Tour. And, you know, she's got some growing pains. It was certainly the putter that let her down. I think it's amazing if you look at where her swing was 2 years ago, what happened under David Ledbetter and how much it changed. And now it seems like they're kind of working back out of those changes. I mean, it's a lot of mechanical work in a pretty short amount of time. So I'm not worried. I like the direction that she's heading. I think she's extremely strong mentally. She's been able to succeed going through all of these changes as she's doing it, which is extraordinary. So the fact that she has a little bump in the road on the way into some new changes, it's not alarming. I would certainly, she's on my list of favorites going into next week.
All right. Well, Paige, we always love talking to you, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
Likewise. Have a great day, guys.
All right. You too. Thanks.